Well, happy Thanksgiving holiday to all of our listeners. Today's special guest, Louis Navellier. Well, Louis Navellier runs Navellier & Associates, also editor of four leading stock advisory newsletters. Welcome back, Louis Navellier.
Great to be here.
Third quarter earnings announcement season is underway, and you say that growth stocks have a tendency to liven up after announcements during their earnings season. There's good signs in the market. Bargain hunters abound. Low treasury bond yields are also a positive. Please tell us more.
Sure. Well, first of all, I actually expected earnings to decelerate in the third quarter, and they didn't. The S&P's earnings were up about 10.3. You know, my portfolios are designed in much stronger earnings, so I'm well over 40% earnings growth. But the sales did decelerate a bit, not so much for me, but for the overall market. And what's causing this is the strong dollar. The strong dollar pinches the profits of multinationals like a Coke, a McDonald's, an IBM, and of course a lot of the energy stocks. Because as the dollar gets stronger, it shoves down commodity prices. The other thing that's very interesting that's going on is that the low interest rate environment's getting worse. It's there's this worldwide limbo contest, and zero is not the floor. Over in Europe, they actually have negative yields. So what's happened is American companies are going over there, borrowing in the bond markets. Apple's the most recent one to do it at ultra low rates, even lower than getting in the United States, and buying their stock back. They're relentless, and it's going to be quite fascinating to see what happens.
You also say November, a traditionally strong month, particularly with midterm elections.
We rally going into the holidays. We've always had an early January effect. We're having one now. It's very clear. So I expect that this rally we've seen is going to continue for the rest of the year, and then we'll gap up in the beginning of the new year. You know, anytime the market goes up on light volume, it's a very, very good sign. So it's looking awfully good right now.
Okay, well, tell us a little bit about the OPEC decision. You know, I'm sure you saw that West Texas Intermediate crude was just cratering over the holiday. OPEC decided not to curtail supply. You would think on the one hand this would be a big positive because, you know, lower cost, lower transportation cost, more buying, lower corporate expenses, stronger share prices. However, some analysts have pointed to plunging oil prices just before the 2007-2008 market swoon. Any thoughts?
I think there's a lot of things going on. First of all, the people in Texas aren't happy right now. They've invested disproportionately in what we call master limited partnerships that pay very generous yields and have been really causing the domestic energy boom in the United States. So I know they're very, very upset. Another big oil service company on Wednesday suspended its dividend, and that really shocked people. We are in the middle of holiday trading now, so even though West Texas is at $66 a barrel, let's see where it settles out in the next couple of days. And I think the real test for oil is in the spring. Demand goes up in the spring, and let's just see what it does then. But in the meantime, they're shooting everything, and it's unfortunate. You know, the refiners make more money with low prices like this. The pipeline companies should not get hurt because they're still, it's based on the volume. The other big theory out there that's going on is there's a lot of debt out there, and in the oil patch, and there's this theory that some of the bonds that fund a lot of the drilling are going to default. So we've got the shorts really trying to attack a lot of these energy companies, and it's very, very unfortunate what they're doing. We'll just have to wait and see where the prices are going to be in the spring, in all candor. I think today's action is quite shocking. It's thin market conditions. Don't think this will continue every day.
Very good. Well, you know, housing starts have also picked up. It almost seems to move lockstep with the general equities markets, the HGX Philadelphia Housing Index, a good proxy, I think, for the sector. Just incredible strength, and the home builders as well perking back up. Do you see another solid year in the housing sector?
Yeah, I really do. I think the bottom line is more people are getting jobs. They may not have the jobs everybody wants, but we do have employment growth. We do have confidence on the rise. So I do expect a smooth but steady housing recovery, and that's important. The weak housing market was one reason GDP couldn't grow. But our economy is on track for my goodness, we've had the strongest GDP growth the last two quarters since 2003. Everything's going to decelerate a bit in the fourth quarter, but I think we're on track for almost 3% GDP growth, and housing has to participate to sustain that 3% GDP growth.
But, you know, retail sales also off. Should we discount this number here?
I think we have to discount it. Let's see where Black Friday and Cyber Monday sales are. But obviously the low gas prices are putting more money in consumers' pockets. We have more people getting jobs now. Confidence is definitely improving. There'll be pockets of the economy that will be grumpy. Texas will be grumpy because of low energy prices. The Farm Belt's grumpy because we grew too much wheat and soybeans. So the prices are down there. I think it's going to be fine. I'm not too worried about retail sales. I think it's doesn't really measure the online boom that's going on.
Well, China, interesting numbers from that rousing tiger country. Of course, exports climbing about 15%. The PBOC just dropped interest rates, if I'm not mistaken, the lowest level in several years. Do you see improved conditions in China, and could that spill over here in the United States?
I'm very comfortable and confident that China is going to stimulate their economy with a rate cut. We already have a lot of wealthy Chinese buying homes all up and down the West Coast. I'm on the East Coast. We see the rich Russians buy homes here. It's actually pretty interesting, the capital flight around the world. But China is still the big economic engine in the world. They're just going to ensure that they grow at a certain pace, and you've got to give them credit for doing that.
Exactly. Okay. The commodity sector, of course, suffering along with energy. Do you see that group of stocks and related commodities suffering over the next 6, 12 months?
I see all commodities suffering. The dollar shuts down all commodity prices. The only exception would be beef, chicken, and pork. Beef prices are high because Texas is in a drought, so we don't have as many cows as we normally do. And then last year we had severe winter, and we're already having a severe winter this year. And that just makes the cows go to a special place, a happy place. And so what's happened is you got high beef prices, chickens up as a beef substitute, and the poor pigs are sick. Now, I was in Alabama at a barbecue joint the other day, and they ran out of pork. That's how acute the pork shortage is. The high poultry prices and beef and chicken prices help the Tyson Foods of the world. I like Pilgrim's Pride as well. Feed costs are low. That's the only inflation player I have is food prices.
You know, there's several red-hot sectors right now in the equities markets, and I know that you have a tendency to keep your finger on the pulse of some of the more interesting plays. Is there anything that's caught your attention you'd like to share with the listeners today?
Well, tech is doing a lot better. Tech's global. I think a lot of it is Apple lifting the whole sector, buying its stock back. There's stocks like Skyworks Solutions, NXPI, there's suppliers to Apple. So I think that's one of the oases out there. Apple's created a lot of excitement with the iPhone. The iPhone is obviously going to generate sales for a few quarters here. First they launched in the United States and then in China. But there's something Apple did that's quite brilliant with the iPhone. They engineer it like a bar of soap. And when you drop them, it cracks really easily because the glass is curved now. So they're not as durable as the old ones were. So I expect the replacement cycle is going to be quite high.
Do you expect, some of this wafer and wearable technology that's coming down the pike, do you expect that to continue to help lift shares? I mean, it's been one of the stronger tech companies in the last few months.
Well, I think the watch, which doesn't come out to next year, is just a peripheral. Like you can have a wireless headphones, you can have a wireless device called a Fitbit. I know the new Apples are measuring your health and everything too, but the little Fitbit might be easier to hold than the big phone. I think Apple's doing the right thing, having more things communicate to the phone. They're working on, obviously diabetic pumps that talk to your iPhone and things like that. And that would all be Bluetooth in. The watch is just another little device. Whether it will be more convenient than the actual phone is another matter. So I think that it's not going to be I don't anticipate it to be a massive hit. I just think it's another Bluetooth device.
So just not another iPod or iPhone.
It's a Bluetooth device. The kids don't like to wear watches because they tell their time on their phone. I know Apple's trying to get the kids to wear the watch. That will be the big, big thing. If they can get the kids to wear the watch, then I take it all back.
So ironic to think that watches are becoming antiquated. Well, as we wrap up, it looks like we could just see another solid year in the equities markets. Any parting comments?
Lock and load. I hate to be a depressing person, but my average stock is going to be gone 15 years at the current buyback pace. If rates do not go higher, buybacks will continue unabated. That is the story. The stock market is shrinking. It's disappearing. I know we have IPOs like Alibaba and GoPro and Twitter, but the amount of stock outstanding is shrinking. And so corporate America continues to aggressively buy its stock back. And P ratios are very low. They haven't gone up as much as the stocks haven't gone up as much as their earnings have gone up. So I'm very, very bullish. I think the next couple of years is going to be good. And traditionally, the third and fourth year presidential election term is a great year for the market.
Well, it's ironic you would mention that because one of our stock picks from 2 days ago, Kimberly Clark, just skyrocketed today, I don't know, almost 4%, primarily due to those buybacks that you're referring to. We're watching buybacks closely, and that tends to propel the companies higher. Tell folks more about the services you provide, please.
Well, basically, we have free stock graders. My free stock grader is on navaliergrowth.com, my newsletter site. We would encourage everybody to go there and register for it. But you have my database of 5,000 stocks online free. So everybody should take advantage of that.
Louis Navalier, we thank you for taking time for us today and wish you continued success in the upcoming new year.
Thank you. Take care.
Here is your mining quiz for the day, compliments of GoldSeek. Which company has the largest undeveloped gold reserve in North America? Seabridge Gold. Now, which company has the largest undeveloped copper reserve in North America? Seabridge Gold again. Seabridge has more gold reserves than Kinross, Yamana, and Agnico Eagle. Last year alone, Seabridge added 515 million tons of new inferred resources containing nearly 6 million ounces of gold and more than 6 billion pounds of copper at their giant KSM project in British Columbia, Canada. Now they are drilling at KSM again with multiple rigs in a 25,000-meter program. Find out more by visiting www.seabridgegold.net. Traded on the NYSE, symbol SA, and the TSX, symbol SEA.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.